And so, dear friends in Christ, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Last week, we heard the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." As we progress further, we find that the owner of that voice is John. And John is preaching and proclaiming a baptism of repentance, as well as prepare yourselves. It is very serious who is coming here. Prepare yourselves and get ready, because this coming Messiah is the one who is going to separate the wheat from the chaff, the bad from the good. As we continue on in John's life, we see that very soon after this proclamation, he is blessed to be able to baptize our Lord. He is baptizing Jesus, the very Son of God. What an unbelievable blessing and honor that he has been given. And from there, we very rightly focus more on Jesus as he goes off into the wilderness to face temptation from Satan himself, and then after that continues and begins his ministry in Judea. But yet, we kind of forget about John. Where did he go? What happened to him? And today, in our reading from the gospel, we find John. John's in prison. John has been put in prison because he speaks out against sin. But namely, he has spoken out against Herod's sin. And Herod didn't quite like that, so Herod threw him in jail. And now, in our reading from Luke today, John sends his disciples. Disciples are followers, students of his teaching. He sends these men to Jesus to ask him one specific question: are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for another? It's a very reasonable question. But yet, there's just this comical scene in my mind when I just imagine the reading. Because what is Jesus doing? What is he in the midst of doing? He's in the midst of doing absolute miracles. It's as if he turns to these disciples as he's in the midst of healing and cleansing somebody. He turns around and just goes, "Hold on a second, let me finish healing this person in this miraculous way, and I'll answer your question. Hold on." It's so silly and ridiculous to me. But what's very fascinating is Jesus' answer. He doesn't just say, "Yes," right? Could have saved a lot of time, right? Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? Yep, that's me. But yet what he does is he points them to his work. What is he here doing? He says, "All right, guys, this is what you're going to do. Go back and tell John what you see. You see the blind receiving their sight. You see the lame walking. You see the lepers cleansed. You see that the deaf have their hearing restored to them. You see, the very dead are raised from the grave." Looking only at the Gospel of Luke, paging forward just a little bit, what we see is that Jesus heals a man with a demon in chapter 4. Right after that, he heals Simon's mother and many other people in Capernaum. Right after that, in chapter 5, he cleanses a leper and heals a paralytic. In chapter 6, he heals a man with a withered hand. And then in chapter 7, right before John's disciples come to him, we have two very famous passages. One where the centurion's faith heals his servant, and the other where the widow of Nain, who has lost everything, her son is brought back to life. Jesus could have just said yes, but he doesn't. He points these disciples, and also then John, to what they already know to expect. They have had thousands of years of scripture before them. John would very well know what to expect in the Messiah. And Jesus, by saying, "Go tell John what you see," is pointing them back to Isaiah, where specifically in 35, Isaiah tells us that the one who is to come will open the eyes of the blind and unstop the ears of the deaf. Jesus is highlighting these things instead of simply saying yes, because he is backing up everything that he is doing with God's word. Jesus says, "It's not just me doing this. I am doing specifically what is promised. I am standing here as the fulfillment of these promises. Look, look, look and see, and you will see the signs of the Messiah. But yet, I think that we all really kind of hang on this question. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect another? It's a rather surprising question coming from John. And there are two perspectives on this. Either A, John is doubting, or B, John is teaching. So John, in his doubts, might be asking Jesus, well, I thought you were, but I'm not quite sure right now. Will you please tell me? Or he's teaching his disciples to go and see that Jesus is the fulfillment. But I think that both of those things are quite satisfactory, right? Both of those are very likely reasons for this question. But I think that we kind of grab onto John's doubt a little bit more, because doubt is huge. Doubt is something that we all face. And so then what therefore is the source of John's doubt? Is John expecting an easy life? Did he expect that God would bless him with an easy life? Did John realize that he is the one who was prophesied to be the voice of one crying in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord? Did he realize that and say, oh, that's me, and so I've got a lot of stuff that God's going to have me do, so all right, he's going to prosper me, he's going to make it easy. And as he's sitting here in jail, is he going, well, what in the world is going on now? I thought I was supposed to be this guy preparing the way for the Christ and declaring these things. When we think that John sends his disciples to question Jesus because of his doubt, though, I think we kind of put John in a negative light. It's just kind of a normal, natural thing for us to do. Or is doubt a very good thing? Is it in doubt that we actually find God? Did John expect that exalted life? Did he know that he was the one who was the voice of the one crying in the desert? Or are we at fault? Are we placing too many things upon him? I think that we do tend to place these things on him because we ourselves experience doubt. Is Jesus the Messiah? And I don't think that it's always helpful for us to think in messianic terms, because we have not been looking for the Messiah. I think for us, we need to speak in terms of salvation from evil and death. Those are the ones that we all feel, the ones that we know personally, the ones that have affected our own lives. Are we to be daily questioning this Jesus, whether or not he can save us from sin and death, from evil and the grave? The answer to that question is yes. We should be daily questioning these things, because we find that God answers these questions. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Question and you will have your answer. We have an active God. And especially as we reflect in Advent of all the different ways that God comes into our lives and into our world, we see that God even comes to us in our doubts, in our questions. And this active Jesus is active very much right now. And I'm not referring to the time when he walks the earth in sandals. I'm talking of the right now. When he is exalted on high at the right hand of God, he comes to us still to this day. I think we have a tendency to narrowly focus in the season of Advent. Everybody loves a baby being born. There's so much joy at new life. But I think that we often forget that this baby is born to die. This baby is born to take our place on the cross. This baby is born and prepared to be a sacrifice. That's not a happy thing to think about. But what we need to reflect on is that this baby who was born in this Christmas season grows into our Savior. And he goes to the cross for all people. especially those doubters, especially those people who question, especially for all those people who are not quite sure whether Jesus is the one to come. But he is. Because what we see is that the price is paid in Christ for you, for me, for all people, based not off of us, but based off of the unbelievable and undeserved grace of God. And then in our doubts, which do come in all seasons, we can approach Jesus. We can go to the very cross and say, "Are you the one? Are you the one who is here to save us? Are you the one who is to save us from evil and death?" And he does not respond to us with a yes. He responds to us just like he responded to John. "Look at what I am doing, and look at what I have done." When we question our faith, when we question our God, what we find is that our active, living, loving God points us to the cross, where he says, "I have taken care of it. I have paid the price. Life is yours." And this is where we place our trust, in the work of God, the work which has fulfilled all of these promises for us. And as we inch closer and closer and closer, geez, it's almost next week, isn't it? Wow, I can't believe it's almost already Christmas. As we get closer and closer to celebrate this birth, this such a joyous time, I want you to remember your doubts and those who doubt. We see John, a quite holy and righteous man by our standards, that he himself is questioning. And in his questions, he is lifted up with a holy and righteous answer. God has lifted up the Savior to redeem the world, to bring faith and reassurance to those who doubt. And when these people, or even you yourselves, ask questions of these things, seek the cross. That's why we put it absolutely everywhere. Because it is in not only this symbol that we look at, but it is in the truth of what happened on that cross 2,000 years ago, that we know that that child born to die in a very strange but thankful way brings us life. Amen? Amen. Amen.